15 minutes, hopefully, here at the scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to look at verses 12 through 15 for a moment, talking about the Lord's Supper and talking about how it's a New Testament celebration, And, of course, we'd be in 1 Corinthians 11 if we wanted to technically look at everything. Our instructions that are written to us, our doctrine, our observances here in a local assembly of the Lord's table together. But let's look at this tonight for something a little bit different. Hope it'll be a blessing and a help to us. 2 Peter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." I kind of apply that spiritually to the Lord's Supper that we're observing tonight. Hopefully, I mean, pretty much everybody here, we don't even hardly ask for visitors to raise their hands and to be recognized on Wednesday night. We could do that from time to time, but for the most part, you have what we call hopefully safe people that go to church on Wednesday night. Amen. And even if we do have some visitors come along, normally unsaved people don't too much look up services on Wednesday night. And so we're talking about things we already know, but it's scriptural to be put in remembrance of those things. I need a history lesson. I need to be reminded to remember. I don't know if you do. And I'm 37 years old, and some of you are younger than me, some of you are older than me, but I think we all need to be reminded of things from time to time. And I believe that's what the Lord's Supper, we're going to talk about that for a few moments tonight. But I don't even know if I finished the verse. Let's go back to verse 12. "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle." You know what that means, right? I stopped to explain just for a second in case we're not getting it. Because if you come to church, I hope you're open to the Word of God and that you're going to actually open the Word of God. And I'm not being mean when I say that. If you're not coming to do that, I don't know why you're coming, really. Okay? Now, you're supposed to be here, yes. Understand that. But it needs to be for God to hear us to sing and worship and praise Him. And it needs to be to be open to the instruction of God's Word. And verse 13 says, "Yeah, I think it meet." That means, we know what that means. It's suitable, it's acceptable, it's right. As long as I am in this tabernacle, Peter's saying, as long as I'm in this physical body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And verse 14, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle." If I had time, we'd go to John 13 and verse 36. Maybe that reference is in your margin where Christ is talking about the death that I die. You can't follow me now, but you will later. And I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. Or you could go to John chapter 21 verses 18 and 19, and Peter's getting nosy and he's saying, what's going to happen to John? Or before he asks what happens to John, Christ tells Peter what's going to happen to him. Okay, and you can look up that reference sometime. So Peter knows that his life, his existence in this earthly tabernacle, his life was tabernacling in that earthly body at the present time. It's not anymore. He died a long time ago. That life does not exist in that earthly tabernacle anymore. Right now, my life and your life exists in this earthly tabernacle. So it applies to us. He's saying, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." Whether he showed them by the Lord Jesus Christ putting off his earthly tabernacle, that's what he means. I think he means what Christ had spoken to him about when they were walking and talking while Christ was here on earth. Verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Peter was worried about those that he was ministering to, remembering the things that they were supposed to remember. Now, how many times here in this communion table, if it's not covered up right now, it says, "This do in remembrance of me," or it says, "In remembrance of me." You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and at least two times Christ says, "This do in remembrance of me," speaking of his body and the symbolism thereof of the bread and the breaking of the bread and the partaking of the bread. And when it comes to his blood and the cup that is symbolizes the blood that was shed of the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, he says, "This do in remembrance of me." There's some things we need to be put in remembrance of. And tonight, the Lord's Supper is a New Testament celebration. It's a New Testament celebration. And I was watching that King James video again with my wife last night. I saw it up in Ohio, and I watched it myself one time, and then I was showing part of it to her last night or whatever it was. And they're talking about Guy Fawkes Day. And I've heard on the radio before. I think back when I was on the radio with Rich that we used to talk about this day in history. Today's observed over in England, Guy Fawkes Day. And I'm sure Brother Matt's talked about that before on the radio and others. And I'm not going to talk about that right now, except that was the guy that tried to blow up King James and the whole English Parliament. And it was a Catholic conspiracy, by the way. Okay. And it was the cat got out of the bag, and it didn't happen. And Guy Fawkes, he didn't meet a very glorious end. His life kind of went up in flames, if you want to say it that way. And they still celebrate that, I think, on November the 5th. Each and every year over in the old country, over in England. And maybe Tony knows something about that. I don't know. Guy Fawkes Day, but that's a little history for you tonight. Amen? Consider yourself that much more intelligent than when you got here. Yet there's some things that we need to be put in remembrance of. And Matthew 26:28 says it this way, and we'll see this verse here a little later when my dad reads it to us. But Christ spoke and said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament." Representing the new covenant. That blood was shed to usher in that new covenant God had with His chosen people that we got in on in Christ Jesus. Amen. Even if we're not of the commonwealth of Israel, by faith God has placed us in that wonderful relationship in Christ Jesus. And that's good news for me and you tonight. And there's several times where the Lord's Supper is stated to be in remembrance of the Lord's sacrificial work. And we need to remember that tonight. And we need to celebrate that tonight. If you're like me, sometimes your heart's just not as right as it should be. I'm talking about a pastor's heart is not always as good and as right and as in tune with God as it should be. And it's the same way for every believer. I don't care if they're on ministry staff, working in a Christian school or a college or radio ministry or printing ministry or whatever, however you want to fill in the blank. Sometimes your heart needs to be refocused. And the good way to get that refocused is by remembering what God told us to remember. We need to get our heart right sometimes. And this is the book that has all the prescriptions we need and all the treatment that we need. This book is the key. It is the cure for what we need in this everyday life. And we need to celebrate spiritual truth. And that's what this is about. We're celebrating the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a New Testament celebration. Do you understand? People celebrate, I don't know what I said a minute ago. I hope I said spiritual truth. If I said that, you understand that people celebrate physical truth all the time. That's what the world's all about. I like to watch sports too much, I'm sure. We were reading the Bible with my kids last night before they went to bed, and I was talking about, there was a verse there in Psalm 119 talking about vanity, and I was explaining what vanity was. And I said, it's like, you know, getting involved in the things of this world that really have no enduring or lasting purpose. You know, and I pointed at the computer. And the computer was sitting right beside me when I was talking about it. I said, like spending too much time on this with the vain things, the empty things of life. And my hope, you know, she always has something to say. And she's my curliest girl, I guess you could say. If you recognize her by curly hair, that's who Hope is. And she said something like watching the Boston Red Sox. I said, exactly like watching the Boston Red Sox. That's exactly it. She understood. She didn't make application to her life. She made application to her dad's life. Which is what y'all do when we preach also. Amen. You don't make application to your life. You make application to somebody else's life. But that is true. It is true. There's vanity there. There's vanity there, and if you let your life be driven by the vain and empty things of this old world, then you'll one day wake up and say, where did the time go, and why didn't I do what I should have done? If you lose focus on what really is important. That's why God says, this do in remembrance of me. This is a New Testament celebration to remember what God has done for each and every one of us in Christ Jesus. It's a celebration of spiritual truth, which endures. Physical truth doesn't endure. The guys that play professional baseball today, most of them won't be playing on that team or any other team in 5-10 years. Do you know that? That time will fade away. It will go away. They'll have to refocus and try and find some other purpose in life other than the one they're serving right now. And you can apply that to any part of this physical existence. But today we have a society that's only worried about the physical body and the physical truth and the physical excitement. And they're only worried about the things that are about me, 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 me. It's look at me, whether it's on the computer, whether it's social networking, you fill in the blank however you want to do that. Whether it's putting a video of yourself on YouTube, it's all like, look at me, I'm trying to have my time in the sun, the spotlight on me, it's all about me. No, it's not about you. If you live a life with that philosophy and that perspective, you're going to find yourself very disappointed one day, because that physical truth will not endure. It will not endure, but spiritual truth will endure. Spiritual truth outlasts and out-endures, if that's the right way to say it. Physical truth, this physical body will be gone, long gone, yet spiritual truth lingers on. That's why when we partake here in a moment, this is not a meal tonight for the physical body. It is not to satisfy the physical appetite you might have. In fact, we're instructed to eat before we come. Or after you leave, or maybe you're going to do both. I don't know how, probably that's how that'll work. Yet it's not about satisfying any physical appetite. And by the way, let me just say, church service in general is not about coming and satisfying any physical appetite. See, the church today tries to cater to people's physical appetites. And that's not celebrating spiritual truth. That's not a New Testament celebration. That's celebrating you again in your flesh. And by the way, have you ever read that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing? That's what the spiritual truth of the matter is. And I tell you what, sometimes I get grieved with me and I get grieved with you. It's just that way sometimes. I don't know. This book ought to be important to you. God wrote it. He made sure that you still had a copy of every word he wrote, even today. And if he went to all that trouble, which was no trouble for him, by the way, man tries to make it seem like it's a lot of trouble. It was no trouble for God. It wasn't hard for him at all, okay? Understand? But if he did that and he delivered it to you and he gave it to you, why do we treat it with such disdain today like it doesn't apply to us when it addresses everything we'll face or ever will face in this physical life? No, I was talking with somebody today about a month or two ago in March. We had a short preacher's meeting there, we had a Tuesday morning service, and Sandy, Sister Johnson, brought her school in, and they sat over here to my far right, and during the 11 o'clock part of that service, we brought in our junior high and high school, and they sat over here in this section to my far left, and James Knox got up that morning. And we picked him to preach during that time period when the young folks were in there at 11 o'clock. And he preached an incredible scripture, Bible-based message that was fantastic. I told you later at services to fall, I said, if you weren't able to be here, if you weren't able to get the CDs or the DVDs or the A-tracks or the tapes or whatever else, if you weren't able to get that, then go online or get somebody to go online for you so you can watch that message about what we have in Christ Jesus, that one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, that daysman out of Job, I think chapter 32, where Job says, if I just had someone to go between me and God, he's not happy with me right now, I don't know what it is, but he's displeased with me, maybe he's frowning upon me, if I just had someone that could take my case or bring God's case down to me and just reconcile our irreconcilable differences, if I just had that. You know what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? We have the great reconciler, amen? There has never been a difference that's came between God and man that Jesus Christ can atone and cover and forgive and reconcile and mediate and arbitrate and take care of for today and for tomorrow and for all eternity. Yet, I was about to jump out of my skin, and I got a lot of skin. I was about to jump out of my skin over here sitting beside my dad on the pew, and I look over to my left. I did it several times during the message, and I looked at some of our young people. And some of them were slouched all the way down their seat. Some of them had their eyes closed. Some of them had their eyes open, but they were down looking. They were so disinterested, and I just heard heaven's bells ring. I just heard the angels shout from heaven, and I look over there, and people are apathetic and don't care. It made me want to get up at that moment and say, wake up. What are you missing right here? This is life right here. This is eternity right here.
The little things, the petty things that you're interested in right now don't matter. You'll be thinking about something else tomorrow. And you're missing what's eternal and what's right. It's a New Testament celebration of spiritual truth, what we have in Christ Jesus. And I tell you what, we got to get that fixed. I know we can't. I know we can't control everybody. I know we can't. I know we've tried before. But yet we can't fix all that. But we need to have an environment where people are understanding what's really important, and that's what we have in Christ Jesus. And not everyone was like that, but I saw too many of them that were like that. And that's an indictment. And that's a problem. And that's something we need to go to God and go to His Word about. And we have the same problem with us tonight. This is a New Testament celebration. This is something important. This is spiritual truth that doesn't just endure through the month of May and expire. This, when you go into eternity future, when you go into the ages to come, we'll still be celebrating what God did for us in Christ Jesus. So let me hurry on to say, wow, not only is the Lord's Supper a New Testament celebration, but the Lord's Supper is associated with our Lord's rejection and His current absence even. That's why we're observing this tonight. You know why? Because Christ is the King. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and every eye and everybody's going to know that one day, yet He's in exile at the present time. Now, if I had time, we'd go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and we'd read verses 15 through 21. And that would be well worth our time to do that. And it talks about how what God did for us in Christ Jesus, talking about His death, His burial, His resurrection the third day, and talked about how that even though Christ is away right now, He's appointed us as ambassadors, and we have this ministry of reconciliation. And that's what's important today. That is the spiritual truth that should dominate our lives day in and day out today. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4 speak to that also. I'm just going to skip a lot here. I didn't realize how much time I used already. Understanding that because Christ was rejected by the chosen people, the nation of Israel, because He was put to death by crucifixion, capital punishment of that day, because He was buried, He rose again the third day, then 40 days later He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's not here today. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Now I'm saying He's not bodily here today. Obviously He's here with us in the person of the Comforter that He sent, the Holy Spirit of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He actually resides in our earthly tabernacles today. You understand what I mean when I say that. Right now He's literally seated at the right hand of the Father. Yes, He's with us. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Yes, He's with us. Yes, we're together. Yes, we're one in Christ Jesus, but He's not bodily on the face of the earth like He was when He was here for the 3.5 years, the 33 and a half years, when he was born of a virgin, lived that perfect life that we could not live, fulfilled the law, every jot and tittle, every dotted I, every cross T. When He died that sacrificial death for our sins, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Yet He will come back, not right now. He will come back and He'll literally rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. He will once again be here bodily. Every eye will be able to see Him. You won't be walking by faith at that time. You will be walking by sight. But right now, we are walking by faith and not by sight. That's why 1 Corinthians 11:26 talks about the celebration of His death. What? While Christ is absent, till He come. So we're instructed to celebrate, to remember, to rejoice in what God did for us in Christ Jesus till Christ Jesus returns. Let me say quickly, not only is the Lord's Supper a New Testament celebration, not only is it associated with our Lord's rejection and absence, it also speaks to the finished work of Christ. Every instructed believer today, scripturally instructed, understands and should rejoice in what's happened in Christ Jesus. We've been placed in Christ. We've been placed in His death, His burial, His resurrection. Now we've been seated in the heavenlies according to the Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. And Christ accomplished so much for us when He accomplished our salvation. You understand that? Do you understand that before, in order for our salvation to be accomplished, that our Lord had to be baptized into the human race. He had to be incarnated. Do you understand that? Now, don't freak out because of the way I'm using the word baptized right there. It's very accurate if you understand some things there. And don't always think of water baptism in a baptistry when you hear that word, because that's not what it always means when you see it in Scripture. But our Lord had to be baptized into the human race. And he became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. The Bible speaks to that in Hebrews chapter 2. He became one of us in a sense. He was likened to his brethren, the nation of Israel. But before we could be baptized into deity, he had to be baptized into humanity. Before we could be baptized into his death, he had to be baptized into our death. Hebrews chapter 2, again, he tasted death for every man. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He lifted us from earth to heaven. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ had to take upon himself a physical body to be beaten and to be scourged and to be spat upon and to be crucified. You understand that God would have us to remember this? You understand that God would have us to be more deeply conscious of this? Do you understand that God would have us to be more thankful for this than we are? That's why God has given us this solemn and precious memorial of Calvary. I could look at several verses that speak to that, but this do in remembrance of me. We have so much in Christ Jesus. Most of us are so ignorant and immature when it comes to what we have in Christ Jesus. Yet the Bible tells us all about that. We have so much. Tonight we have the privilege, the blessing of remembering what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And by the way, several times a year, or however how oft, the Scripture doesn't denominate that for us, as oft as we drink this wine and eat this bread, however, drink this cup, I guess is what it says, that shouldn't be the only time we're rejoicing in this. This is just that memorial that helps us dwell upon this truth. But you can feast upon what God's done for you each and every day of your life. You can praise God each and every day of your life. You can thank God each and every day of your life for what you have in Christ Jesus. This is so important. We're so blessed. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. This ceremony is not for you tonight. This service is not for you. This is only for those that have taken part in what God has done for us. And by the way, it's for you as long if you approach Him in faith, if you'll get saved. Amen? It's for everybody if they'll get saved. But if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you're honest about that, then this is closed to you tonight. This isn't for you. Unless you want to get right and get that settled right now. Because it's for the whole world. It looks to anybody that'll come to Christ in simple, childlike faith. He's done so much for us, hasn't he?
Yes, sir.
Well, we get the privilege and we have the blessed opportunity tonight to remember that for just a few minutes. Let's bow our heads.